This is Kathy Forsty with KC Cafe Radio, music director. And with me tonight is Kathleen Coleman.
Hello.
Who is our marketing director at KC Cafe Radio. And we're going to be talking with Carrie Patrick Clark, who is a wonderful singer, songwriter, musician, and friend of KC Cafe Radio.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm tired.
Yeah, we're here at the, we're actually doing this interview at the Farm Conference, which is Folk Alliance Region Midwest Conference in St. Louis, Missouri. But we wanted to take some time to speak with Carrie, get a little longer conversation with him than we've done so long. So we're glad to have you in our room and be able to talk with you for a little while.
Yeah, Waco's been too long.
Yeah, it has.
I mean, we see each other, but it's seriously one of us is playing or you guys are interviewing and we wave at each other and passing.
Sort of like ships passing in the night.
Right.
Well, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about, we want to talk about the CD. In a perfect world.
Yeah, I brought a copy so I can speak intelligently about it.
That's awesome.
Well, let me talk about the cover.
Yeah.
You got the CD right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a beautiful picture of your family.
Thanks.
Tell me about how the idea for that
You know me and my stories can get long. You want them short, holla, because I'll make them shorter. When I was 16 years old, one of my good friends, and has been my good friends for years, is a sister of Franciscan order. Rosine Sobczak is her name, Sister Rosine Sobczak. She came up to me after a program and she went, I just love the way you weave stories. You're like a musical Norman Rockwell.
Oh.
And instantly my little kid went, he's old. I'm not. That's irrelevant. I'm young and hip and cool, right? Mm-hmm. Now, flash forward 25 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in a workshop about marketing and promoting yourself. And this woman who's wonderful, written a handful of books, I'm not going to remember her last name. How to Become Your Own Booking Agent is the name of the book, and she presents workshops. She was doing a marketing thing, and she said, what you need to do as a singer-songwriter is realize that you're a product. Mm-hmm. And so what three or four words describe you? And I went, a musical Norman Rockwell.
Yeah.
And I raised my hand, and I went, how's this? And I said, a musical Norman Rockwell. Remembering the quote that my friend Sister Rosine told me years and years ago, and she went, oh my gosh, that's the best, that's incredible.
Brilliant.
And then she went on to say, you know, I actually looked at your website, and that fits exactly who you are and the type of music. So to take that to the next level, the cover is, I realize we're doing this radio interview, so you have to describe it.
Right.
It's sort of a take on Norman Rockwell's Saturday Evening Post covers that he would paint.
Okay.
And so I called my photographer friend who's done the covers of the last handful of CDs. I said, listen, are you familiar with Norman Rockwell? And he went, well, who's that? Just to rub the old in a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I said, get on, do Saturday Night Live, Saturday Evening Post, Google search, Norman Rockwell. And he called me and he goes, okay, I got it. He says, what are you thinking? And I said, well, I picture, you know, my family. It's like we're posing for a photo and this little boy is sort of in the way doing what little boys do, right? We're trying to capture this perfect moment and we've spent time and we've taken showers and my wife's gotten makeup on and I've got the goo in my hair to make it look just right.
Right.
And the boy's underneath the tripod, you know, surfing the web or listening to watching some YouTube thing. So that's kind of the picture.
Right.
And it's really
it's a
to
modern
capture.
Version of
exactly.
Of yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love it.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So speaking of your family, I know you've been on tour for a little while now.
Yeah, 3.5 weeks.
Yeah. So what are the challenges of being away from your family and being on the road?
One of them is what we just talked about before we hit record is eating. Mm. You know, drive-thrus are really, they're open 24 hours or you're getting gas and you don't want to take any more time because you have 300 more miles to get to the next gig. So you grab something really unhealthy.
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, you know, I have to be honest, even though this tour hasn't been that, I have had tours that are just ridiculously long and really lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
loneliness?
Yeah. And fortunately, I have enough friends and people around the country that if I call in, you know, a help from the audience or a family member, they generally show up and you know, let me bare my soul. And But this tour has been really great. And the challenge that I found this tour is the lack of time I have to communicate with my family. And that's a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah.
So my son, who's pictured on this, who's 11 years old, sixth grade, he's in a brand new school. It's an art school. Mm-hmm. His first guitar concert was last Thursday.
Oh.
And guess who missed it?
Yeah.
Did your wife do a video of it?
I'm sure she did, but I've not seen it. I haven't had time to, you know, do anything except text and occasionally call, say, listen, I'm on my way to such and such, and I just want you to know I'm okay, and everything okay there. You guys need anything? Seriously, it's been that. I've put 6,000 miles on my van in the last 3 weeks, and I have two more days and about 1,500 more miles.
Yeah.
There seems to always be that moment in your life where you could go either way as far as your career choice. Mm-hmm. Was there a moment that pushed you over the edge to move more towards the music, or would you have chosen, was there a chance that you would have chosen another path for your career?
So the long answer to that is my dad, who was a scientist, my mom a CPA, looked at their artsy fartsy kid and went, you know, this is a great part-time gig, weekend gig, go to school, get a job. And I didn't understand their language, and they didn't understand my heart at the time.
Right.
This is all I've ever wanted to do. And so truth be told, I do not have an option. This is my career. Mm-hmm. This is what I do.
Yeah.
And what my sister, who's a screenwriter out in Los Angeles, really talented human being, she's like me. She doesn't have anything to fall back on either. Good news, bad news.
Yeah.
The bad news is that the bad news is that we don't have anything to fall back on. The good news is we don't have anything to fall back on. Because those, generally speaking, that are an artist, if they have something to fall back on, will eventually fall back on it, because it's really hard.
I was talking to James Doherty today, and he said he has a bumper sticker or something that he loves, and it says, art work is art work. It's not just art.
Absolutely.
Art is work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you can't just turn creativity on or off. It's either there or it's
yes.
not.
And the challenge, I think, that has changed because of the internet, which has opened up a whole new dialogue and opportunity for people like me, who, if you can digitize your art, you can sell it. And your path of distribution is way easier than it used to be. But part of my brain is that singer-songwriter dude. The other part is a businessman who goes, you know, I got to feed my family. How am I going to do that as an artist? And so I wear a lot of hats, and you guys know, because you know me fairly well. I wear a lot of hats to make a living in the music business. Now, would I change that? Heck no. And by the way, my priorities are, I don't want to be on the road all the time.
Right.
I got an 11-year-old son at home that I want to be a great father for. I'm not going to call him from some Holiday Inn in, you know, San Francisco, and then the next week in Florida going, how you doing there, boy?
Yeah.
No.
Remember me? Your
good
old dad?
Right.
I think there's a song called Cats in the Cradle.
Right.
That already went through that.
Where you missed your child's childhood.
So, but, you know, I am gearing up, and I am doing more touring because he is getting older. Doesn't need me so much.
But you need him more. I mean, that's the weird thing about kids as they grow up. It's like, you know, when they're little, you know, they need you. And as they get older, you know, you become so attached to taking care of them.
Yeah.
They start moving away from you. It's like, that's what I'm struggling with my son.
Because your son and my son, they're similar.
They're about the same age.
He's 10. No, he's 11.
Yeah. Well, I'm at a point in my life, too, with my kids, where they're in their middle to late 20s, and they don't really need me as far as me to do things for them, but, you know, I'm there to help them with, you know, advice
or,
you know, those types of things. And we've moved into that relationship part of our relationship, where you talk and you share things and you see each other as adults.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you have a really good song about this.
Yes?
Yes.
Which one?
Called Therapy.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes. That's my favorite song on your CD.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh,
I
that's
love
so
that
cool.
song. I love it.
That's very funny.
So tell us about the song Therapy and why you wrote that and where it came.
I wrote it because my wife and I had one of those heated discussions. I almost said argument. I suppose it could be an argument. But what you have to know about me is we have two older boys as well, and that came with the marriage. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, truth be told, if you knew my heart, if you really knew me, you'd know that I wanted to be a great father. And the gift of being a stepdad is I don't have to be a great dad. I can sing in a bar or be on tour and mm-hmm. and be 2 or 3 weeks away and come home and go, dude, how you doing? Everything all right? You need anything from me? I'm not dad.
Yeah,
right. I'm stepdad or this right. male role model in their house. And so when 911 happened and we decided to try to have our own child, and we did, my wife and I, by the way, I've always defaulted. My wife has been the one who has way more parental experience than I do. Mm-hmm. So you win. How would you approach this? Mm-hmm. And I've always defaulted to that. And there was that one moment that I think Robbie was banned from screens. I heard it as TV. Mm-hmm. Robbie heard it as TV. Amy meant screens. So he comes down, we're working out. He goes, Dad, can I borrow your iPhone? Heck yeah, here. And he takes my iPhone. He's playing a little game. And Amy looks at me. She says, seriously? What was that? And I go, what? And now I'm feeling like my kid. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, what? I'm in trouble. I don't want to be in trouble.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, right. And I said, wait a minute. I thought, wait. And then I went to, wait a minute, you're my wife. I'm not in trouble. Hold it. He's my son. I get to be the parental skilled dude mm-hmm. here too.
Yeah.
What I heard was this. And by the way, listen, this is what I said to her. Uh-huh. I don't think it matters what we do as parents. And her eyes got Uh-oh. Huge. Uh-oh.
That was the wrong thing to say.
Exactly. And I went, wait, hold on. Can I take that back? She said, I hope you do. I said, I don't think it matters what I do. I think I'm going to screw up my kid, so I'm going to start saving for his therapy. And we started laughing. And That's I went, wonderful. Honey, I'm sorry. Can we shelve this conversation? I have to go write this song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, when the muse, it's like that, and that's where the song came from, honest to goodness.
That's wonderful.
Because you know, you want to do the best you can. Mm-hmm. So my scientific father, and by the way, for those of that are listening, my hands are like from neck up, and that's what I'm doing, meaning he was a head guy.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. That's how he learned to survive in his world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I needed from my dad was somebody who was physically affectionate.
Right.
Now, is my dad a bad dad because I didn't get a lot of that from him? No, not at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But our love language was different,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So guess how I parent my kid? I'm touching and hugging him all the time, and I know at some point he's going to go, when he gets old enough, he's going to go, crap, that man never gave me boundaries. I'd be a much more capable adult if I had boundaries,
yeah.
if he didn't love me so big. And like, we do the best we can, and yeah, you know yeah. what? Someday when you come to me and go, you're really screwed up, I'm going to go, yeah, you're right. So teach me how to be a better human being and how yeah. to be a better dad.
Yeah.
And what do you need from me in this moment to make it all better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just... Yeah.
Yeah. So as a parent, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. It's like...
Well, yeah. I hope that's not the way the listener is perceiving this conversation.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I think we do the best that we can.
Right.
With the skills and, you right. know, mindset
Absolutely.
You have at the time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to talk about another song. The Therapy is Kathy's favorite song.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite song on the CD is Another River Runs. Mm. Mm-hmm. I know that's got a really interesting story to it as well.
We did a family vacation a couple Decembers ago. Maybe it was last December. It was here to give you a timeline perspective. It's the Newtown, Connecticut school
mm-hmm.
shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It was that week, and I had totally forgotten about it because we were driving to Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is a long drive from Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to the church literally 5 minutes before my sister-in-law was going to sing. It was her church. Mm-hmm. Then we were going up into the mountains, 9,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
They started ringing the bell, reading the children's mm-hmm. names who died. And mm-hmm. I'm very, based on the content of our last question,
mm-hmm.
I love children.
Yeah,
and I love to have fun with children and pick on them and kid with them and give them some joy in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that with a lot of people.
Yeah,
I was in a pool of emotional something when they were ringing this bell.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, seriously. And my son, who's sitting next to me, every time the bell rings, it's like I go deeper into my heart. More tears come, and I'm just in this almost fetal position, crying. And, Daddy, what's wrong? Daddy, why are you crying? I couldn't even tell my son.
Yeah.
He has no perspective. Yeah. So we go 9,000 feet up into the mountains of Chama, New Mexico, and apparently some people get altitude sickness.
Oh, no. Are you one of those people?
Which is why when I walked in, there's a Lazy Boy chair with an oxygen tank next to it. And I say to the lady we're renting the cabin from, what's that for? She said, well, you know, at 9,000 feet, there's not a lot of oxygen. Some people have issues. Oh, okay. So that night I wake up. So I thought I was having a heart attack. I couldn't breathe.
Oh, my gosh.
I was gasping for breath, and my wife said, you better go sleep in that chair with an oxygen tank, which, by the way, I think is a foreshadow of things to come, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Oh, man.
And I couldn't sleep. And so I grab my guitar, and the bell is ringing in my head.
Yeah.
And so it's a brand new tuning for me. That's sort of haunting, and as one of, since we're at the farm conferences, our keynote speaker Tim Grimm, quoting Woody Guthrie, if you're going to talk about something, paint a picture, don't preach a sermon.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, me too. And so as I think about that song, I painted a picture.
Yeah.
And the picture is, you know, if this gun violence, which is one of those lines that divide us. Well, you can't take my guns away. It's an American right.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. You do have a right. I disagree with the fact that your gun has a magazine that can hold 100 and some bullets and shoot 60 of them a second.
Right.
That's what I have a problem with.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that challenging if we change the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the metaphor was water, because at the same time, by the way, that we were having this Newtown, Connecticut conversation, there was a hurricane that went up the left or the right coast up into New York, swirled around the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
And it came, I live on the shores of Lake Erie, not too far from Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a northern wind that blew straight south down the lake. We suffered, Lake Michigan suffered hurricane water damage. There were 30-foot waves on Lake Michigan from that hurricane.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I'm thinking, we've met the monster. It's waves of weaponry. It's a face familiar. It's our enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use the water and sort of as a metaphor, whether it be a storm or the Mississippi River flooding or something like that.
Yeah.
And so that's where the song comes from.
Yeah. Mother Nature provides great metaphors at times.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it's such a powerful, I'm so glad to come out of this conference with the gift of that Woody Guthrie that I've forgotten years ago, you know. Paint a picture, don't preach a sermon. Oh. Right.
I think that's the way your music is anyway, though. I mean,
I hope so. Thanks.
You really paint pictures with your music. And
thanks.
I mean, you know, you listen to your songs and you know, some music you listen to and it's like you hear it and, you know, it's a nice song. But your music sticks with you, you know. Remember it.
Thanks.
Well, and what I love about your music, too, is that all your songs are very unique.
Mm.
Sometimes an artist's music will kind of blend in together. Like Kathy was saying, it starts sounding the same.
Yeah.
Just different words. But each song that you do has a unique character or unique personality.
Mm-hmm.
I had your song Little Red Riding Hood stuck in my head today.
Yeah. Well, guess what I'm playing tonight in my showcase in the Casey Cafe room.
Awesome. But I had that stuck in my head today. I kept hearing these Little Red Riding Hood. Anyway, in my head. So I can't wait to hear it again.
Oh, cool.
further than that, even every CD has its own personality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like your last one was about the Easter story.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one is even, you know, in a perfect world, it has its own personality as well.
Yeah.
Are you working anything new that's going to have another personality?
As a matter of fact, I am. I was going to release a Christmas CD this year.
Awesome.
And I got started really late.
Uh-huh.
And it was really borderline. And, you know, we've had 5 people in our 5,000 square foot home in a little suburb of Toledo, Ohio, for the last 12 years since we bought it brand new. Beautiful home, built a studio there. Love the home. But when my sister-in-law and nephew moved back to Texas, because her husband found work there. We kind of looked at each other and went, this is, what do we do?
Yeah.
What do we, this is all this space. This is crazy. Yeah. What would happen if we had a smaller house? You think our life would be bigger. Mm-hmm. And so we bought a condo on the river in a neighboring town called Maumee, Ohio, thinking we'd have about 3 months to renovate. We put a for sale by owner sign in front of our home. And, you know, the price range we were in, we thought this is not going to sell in 3 days. And it didn't. It sold in 2 months, which was way quicker than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had 3 weeks to sell, to pack, renovate, and move.
Wow. Yeah.
And there was no way to get a Christmas album done. So,
yeah. So you're holding it for next year?
Then? Yeah. Here's the good news for the, you know, that sounds like a really bad story. If you knew me, you would know that I tend to need a deadline. My wife would tell you, give the kid a deadline and he'll get it done. And so, you know, I'm trying to go on the road and book shows at the same time I'm finishing a CD. That's not the way to work.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get the CD done by March, you know, April at the latest, which I will.
Yeah.
Now I've got way enough time to spend in mixing and artwork and booking shows that is, you know, 8 months away.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's all done, in the fall, I start recording for the next CD that might come out, you know, next
the following spring.
Or the following summer or fall, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Christmas, is it going to be original songs?
Yes, and some of the public domain Christmas songs.
Okay.
So there's going to be a Silent Night's going to be on there, but it'll be in this interesting... One of my favorite Christmas songs is a Christmas song called Night of Silent. And it's another song that uses the chords of Silent Night, but a different melody. And so Silent Night and Night of Silence kind of go together like gears, and you know, the, and so I wanted to use the song, and it's so expensive to record other people's stuff. That's not a bad thing.
Right.
But as I'm sitting back thinking, okay, and it occurred to me, wait a minute, you can't copyright the idea.
Right.
You can copyright the lyrics in the song, but you can't copyright the idea.
Right.
So I used that idea. And I started researching Silent Night and found that it was written in a really dark time.
Yeah.
Germany, Stille Nacht, when the villagers couldn't have fires because of the war.
Right. Oh.
And I started thinking about this. And so then it became this dark and light song, and it just didn't work. And then I stumbled on one of the greatest stories. I bet you know this story. One of the greatest stories ever told. World War, what was it? British and German soldiers.
Oh.
Are across the line from each other.
It's World War One.
World, thank you.
Yep.
And the German soldiers, Christmas Eve, German soldiers put a little Christmas tree up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started singing Christmas songs. And the British soldiers joined in. Next thing you know, a British soldier comes up out of his ditch, whatever that's called, walking, and should have been shot. Mm-hmm. And a German soldier meets, and all of them now get up and they share tea, coffee, cigarettes, stories, and songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it, on a battlefield in the middle of World War One, there was peace on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And so I found a letter written by a soldier to his sister that experienced it.
Oh.
And so I rewrote the letter in a song, and it's called My Dear Sister Janet.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and it's My Dear Sister Janet, it is 3 a.m., most men are sleeping, but not me. I am writing this letter to, I can't remember the lyrics. But anyway, it just brings me chills. It's
like, yeah.
And there'll be a couple other Christmas songs like Joy to the World that doesn't have a chorus.
Okay.
Right? It's Joy to the World, and then there's another verse.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a chorus to it. So it's sort of my own little take on some of the traditional songs, and then some really cool, I'm really proud of the songs that are going to be on this CD.
So is Robbie going to be on this one?
I don't know. Not yet. I haven't written a specific. My wife will be on.
I know he was on the last one.
He's on a couple songs on this CD. Yeah. In fact, there for a while, I logged on when the album first came out. I logged on to iTunes, and you can see how many plays and spins or hits it's getting. And you know, every song maybe had one bar of the eight that are possible. Mm-hmm. Robbie's song had all of them, and I just went, seriously.
He's already got a fan base,
right? And so I told him, which was probably I kid when I say it was a mistake, but I told him, I said, Robbie, people that like your song more than mine. How do you know, Dad? Well, come here, let me show you. So, you know, 2 days later, he's like, Dad, how the play's doing on my iTunes? I'm like, shut up, kid. You're kidding. Shut up. Go. You got homework or something.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he's got the entertainer bug already.
He does. He's really gifted. I mean, seriously, this kid.
Well, he sings great on your
Thanks.
TV. Yeah.
When he was six months old, I was playing my guitar and, you know, he's in his little car seat thing, and I'm rocking him with my foot while I'm playing the guitar. Have I told you this story?
I don't know.
And he's humming along.
Tell it again.
He's humming along in the key I'm singing, and
that's wonderful.
Wow, that's weird. Okay, that's just
for sure.
Just my coincidence. God. And so I moved my capo to like totally opposite key of, you know, mm-hmm. where it was, and started playing another song, and he hummed in that key, and I went, oh, you got to be kidding me. It's a blessing or a curse.
Yeah.
And now that he's in this art school and playing music every day, he's playing guitar every day.
Wow.
I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. And then when he gets a little older, you know, to bring him here to these amazing conferences where there's music, his eyes will just bug out of his head.
Yeah.
And to expose him to this, whether he wants to do it or not, that's his choice. Mm-hmm. I will not force him into it. Mm-hmm. I will support him, but it's a heck of a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he might do music, but take a different musical path, you know?
He might. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But he's got the talent for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Carrie, we thank you so much for sitting and talking with
Thanks.
Us. And it's always fun to hear your stories and share a little time.
Thanks. Man, that went
time
quick.
With you. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously. You're welcome. Thank you. I hear you and I appreciate that. And just, I've said it in the room this weekend and when I played, I really appreciate what you do for indie artists. Me, I thank you for, but on behalf of the artists that do what we do that need and want an outlet for airplay, thank you so much. Thank you,
it's
guys.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
And we appreciate having people like you who appreciate us.
Yeah. You make it easy to do our job.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, thanks again. I'm Kathy Forstie, along with Kathleen Coleman and Carrie Patrick Clark for KC Cafe Radio.
Yay.